Yep, not good. Not good, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to it on this Wednesday morning. This Bell Let's Talk Day, Wednesday morning. Remember to use the hashtag Bell Let's Talk. Today, 8:13, J.R. Simmer and Hammer Dave Poulin standing by to sum up the Sens game from last night, both the positive and the negative. Some other highlights from around the NHL last night, including the Jets now winless in five games, and Connor McDavid overtime goal leading the Oilers to a win over the Vancouver Canucks. Okay, I can imagine what our next guest will want to talk about last night's Sens games. Lots of different perspectives to approach this from, so we welcome a presentation of the Myers Automotive Group, Dave Poulin, to the show this morning. How are you doing this morning, Dave?
Very well, gentlemen. One eye on the TV and one eye on the radio right now as the Tennessee up down under, and is it still 4-3? Am I allowed to ask that question on radio?
Absolutely. We've been keeping people up to date. It is, yes, it's still 4-3. They're going back and forth. Now, is Dave Poulin I got up at 3:30 in the morning to watch this entire match, or I turned it on when I got up?
Absolutely no way I got up at 3:30 okay. to watch the entire match. Sports coverage is so excellent these days. I can turn you guys on and get a full capsule of the match and visualize it perfectly. I don't have to get up at 3:30 in the morning. I get enough to watch during the regular hours. And so, no, that's not in the itinerary for sure.
Okay, we'll keep people up to date on the tennis. They're closing down the fifth and final set for Felix. Okay, let's start, Dave, and we'll probably quickly brush through the positives from last night's Sens game because everybody's talking about the Batherson play from last night. But sure. on Tyler Ennis getting a hat trick, Matt Murray getting a shutout, which of the two developments do you think is the most important from last night's game?
I believe it's Matt Murray. Because of how calm he looked, and, you know, I like when I use that word with goaltending, and there's an efficiency to his game that's very evident when he's on in terms of how he controls things, how he moves laterally, how he moves vertically even. And I think that was really there last night. And that's the most important thing moving forward. The Ennis story is a great story. And I thought that Tierney line had been really good against Columbus as well. And so, you know, is Adam Gaudette, the third member of that line, you know, is he, you know, going to be the player he was in college? I mean, he won the Hobey Baker, the best player in college. And we know that, you know, that a lot of players have come out because they're maybe older or wanted a different stage, but he came out and he had a really good year, his second year in Vancouver, and then sort of fizzled off and, you know, got moved to Chicago and then picked up on waivers. So the emergence of that line as the fourth line to chip in and be a factor when they're on the ice is really good balance. But to me, JR, it's Matt Murray, and it's what he means to the future of this team moving forward, solidifying that position, letting you make your other goaltender decisions around Matt Murray. I think it, you know, when you can put a goaltender into your lineup at your choice in ink, that's really, really important, and I think that's why a shutout for Matt Murray, you know, is that significant.
Pooley, more so than the Edmonton-Calgary, I thought in Washington and last night there was an aggression and, you know, really focused. Could something like going back to Pittsburgh and, first of all, getting closure, but at the same time maybe getting a little love and remembering you're a two-time Stanley Cup champion, could that be a little boost to his confidence?
Oh, for sure it could, Simmer. And, you know, we all think that the professional athletes are infallible in terms of their own confidence, and, you know, and they're human just like everyone else is, and they have their doubts and they have their thoughts, and going back there, I know for me personally, until I went back to Philadelphia, I didn't truly feel like a Boston Bruin. Now, he didn't play, and that's a little bit different, but even, you know, when I went back, I remember playing and we beat the Flyers in Boston, in Philadelphia. But I'd already played them in Boston once, but playing them in Philadelphia, we were getting on the bus going home, and Milbury looked at me and he just said, "Let's go home." And it was different. It felt different having gone in as an away member. Now, he didn't play, but he was in the press box, and he got a nice little salute from the fans. And so maybe that did bring the good memories back and the good thoughts back. And we know that Matt Murray, or we're sensing that Matt Murray, you know, thinks he has to be really at a perfect place to play, and that's something he'll have to work through. Because as we've talked about in this show, you know, once the season starts, you're essentially never 100% again throughout the year, it seems like. And that's something you have to work through. But these confidence builders and these blocks are what – things like that are going to be what's important through the second half of this year for Ottawa.
All right, let's talk about the big talking point from that game last night for everybody, and that is the Drake Batherson injury and the Sens' response, or according to a lot of our listeners, and a Simmer, a lack thereof, a response to the hit by Dell. First of all, I think we all agree it was a bad hit, for sure. Do you think that he should face supplementary discipline by the league, a suspension, in other words?
Yes, I do, and I know they weren't happy with it, and they'll look at it for sure, and I do think he should face supplementary discipline. And while he hasn't been suspended for it before, you know, they've already pulled a good clip of him doing the exact same thing to Mark Stone a couple years ago. He had last week's incident where he ran out and took a charge at Phil Tomasino in Nashville. But that was this one for Bass. And even if you're Tomasino coming down the board, you know there's a player coming towards you. This one, to me, is worse, JR, because it's totally unexpected. You know, I think of how many times I would have gone in and gone around the net and picked my angle on the forecheck and seen, you know, how I had to adjust my speed coming in, not even factoring in that the goalie was going to come out and take a cheap shot at me. And so that, to me, the unexpected aspect of that and taking advantage of that, because Drake Batherson sure wasn't thinking, well, I'm going to run over, you know, Aaron Dell here. Mm-hmm. That wasn't even in his game plan ever. Nor is it in any forward's game plan or any skater's game plan. I mean, the goalie is untouchable. Well, if the goalie's untouchable, he can't take a run at you either. And I just think that's the unexpected part of it is the real cheap shot part of it for me. And, you know, you've got a guy who's 1-8-1 this year, who's probably playing out his own frustrations in net. And, you know, he's had a journeyman career. He's 32 years old. And, you know, that's fine. But you've taken the star forward from Ottawa, the leading scorer, going to the All-Star game, all the above, the curve he's at in his career, what he means to this team. And I just did a piece on Sunday, I think it was maybe after the first or second period, about the line change that DJ Smith had made when he had moved him from the first to the second line that night, and how all of a sudden Alex Formanton and Timmy Stützle, who had the winning goal that night, looked like a first line because of Drake Batherson. That's how impactful he is. Not only is he a first-line player, but he's a first-line player who makes other players better. And so to lose him is, you know, it's just flat-out lousy. And from a response standpoint, you saw Austin Watson come out. I thought Mike Johnson made an excellent point on air. He said, watch for Watson. And then Watson came out and he took one good whack. He took two good whacks at him on consecutive shifts. But it's a different day and age, and the same people that want, you know, fighting out of the game and want that to happen want a response from your team when something like this happens. And, you know, I was a coach, and DJ Smith was an emotional coach. And it had been right at that moment DJ Smith might have come over the boards. And there were moments as a coach when I wanted to go over the boards because I didn't think my team was responding. And, you know, it could have been an absolute free-for-all the rest of the night. And then you're saying, okay, to what end? Who is your response against? Is it against Aaron Dell? Do you go out and run Aaron Dell? Or is it against a specific Buffalo forward? Or is it against the whole Buffalo team? Every chance you get, you take a cheap shot at somebody. And then do you risk losing one of your own players again? You know, do I want Josh Norris involved? Or do I want Timmy Stützle involved? What if he gets involved with the wrong guy? And so there's so many different pieces of it. I went through it inside out and upside down last night, just thinking about from all the different situations that I'd seen it. And while you would have liked a response, I don't think the lack of response is anything about a lack of response for Drake Batherson. And at the right time, you know, you think in a round world, Aaron Dell will have his day. But maybe last night wasn't the right time for it. And I know it's frustrating for fans because they want the pound of flesh. Mm-hmm. But all in all, when I look at the whole picture of a team in growth, it's just a really lousy injury, and yet not going out and having a 5-on-5 brawl and having Tim Stützle get the wrong guy in a fight like that and the risk of injury there, I'm probably okay with that part of it.
The other option, and you brought up, you know, all of the different potentially ways this could have gone, is to also the old take a number, and we're going to be seeing you again down the road, be it a game that's coming up in Buffalo in a month or whatever, that there is an option of that as well. And you kind of went through it. We all know, I think we know what Dave Poulin back when you played back in the day and the teams you played for, it might have handled it differently.
My. Yeah. Oh, my. That's a different story, but that's a different day.
I know. So I guess.
It really is.
Yeah. So I guess my question is, for all of, and it's, you know, 86% of voters on a poll today that we've done saying the Sens did not have a big enough response to that. It is a different time. So for those people, if we don't advocate, we don't have bench clearing brawls any longer, what would have been a proper response if what happened last night was not enough, in your opinion?
Arguably somebody challenging Aaron Dell. You know, charging Aaron Dell to fight. I mean, can a forward do that? Can a defenseman do that? Is that a response that you want? Like dealing with the person that, you know, that you have the issue with. Because the easier part is to grab another star player. And, you know, when a player was running around on a team, you would simply go to the best player in the other team and say, if you don't tell your idiot to sit down, then we're coming at you. And then he'd go back to his own bench and he'd say to whomever it was, hey, you've got to settle down because they're coming after me. And that could have been, you know, but it wasn't the case of Aaron Dell running around. It was a one-off. And, you know, it's just, I guess the best challenge would have been to him. But then if you run him, then you're going to get into the situation, JR, with the potential 5-on-5 on the ice and you not having the right five guys on the ice or even one of your five guys, you know, risking injury at that point. And I don't think that helps anybody.
Yeah, and Buffalo to me is not an overly, you know, tough team, Pooley, but I point to DJ Smith is using old school mentality. This is the whole premise of dressing Josh Brown. And whether I don't expect him to run the goalie, but on an offensive zone faceoff, why are you not cruising in from the point? And if somebody steps in front of you, drops the gloves, go at it. I mean, again, Detroit, the argument a long time, don't dress a tough guy. We have the puck the whole night. This is DJ Smith, so I guess I'll ask two-part. Would you not like to see something from Josh Brown? And what do you honestly think DJ Smith feels this morning? Do you think he was happy with the response from his team?
I think he probably understands it. I think he understands he's got a young team. And what I bring into play if Josh Brown does that is, do you end up with a 5-on-5? Do you end up with everybody thinking they're going to get involved and having people that aren't capable of it? Because let's face it, Simmer, you can get guys on the ice who never had a fight. I mean, you know that now. And so you might say, fine, you know, Josh Brown should have done something. But what if that leaves to someone else on the ice being in a situation that they can't handle? And maybe that's something that, you know, I guess the inside that we won't know is if somebody said to somebody, not tonight. Somebody said to somebody, hey, let's play the game, not tonight. We'll get our chance. I don't know that. And we don't know that. But that's the danger, and I understand what you're saying, and Josh Brown is there. You know, and really, really for me, Josh Brown, Austin Watson, they're there to do exactly what I've said, to protect the likes of somebody running around on the ice. And you know that Austin Watson is more than game to get involved at any point, much more than Josh Brown is. And so that doesn't happen, but once again, that to me would have to be a 1v1 because, you know, risking a 5v5 at that point, you know, if Buffalo gets all excited, then you're not in a good case either. And when it's a goaltender, I think the goaltender put a target on everyone's back last night on Buffalo. Now, that didn't prove to be the point, but I think that's what he did.
Yeah, and I mean, Buffalo's not an overly tough team anyway. I don't understand why Josh Brown stepping into the crease area and fighting. Again, we see a fight after big hits now. It doesn't lead to a line brawl like it used to, so I don't really understand why you'd be, you know, it's a contact sport. I mean, Thomas Chabaka running the stanchion.
But I think it's a sensitivity because it was the goaltender.
Yeah.
I mean, that's essentially Buffalo gets off the hook because it's a goaltender. If that's a forward that does that to Drake Batson, then he's going to have an absolutely miserable night off every faceoff. Brady Tkachuk's going to whap him off every faceoff. The goaltender lives in this little, you know, he's got his little bubble around him, and you can't, you know, I mean, you know, he's sacred and you can't touch him and you can't, but he's allowed to do that. Yeah. You know, once again, in a round world, you know, someone will run over that player at some point.
Yeah. I think part of the response we've gotten this morning, Dave, has been, you know, people would have liked to, you know, obviously stepped up, the team to step up more so on behalf of Batherson. And my kind of counter to that is, I think of all the things I don't worry about with the Ottawa Senators going forward is the fact that they don't have each other's back, that this is a really tight team that does play for each other and doesn't necessarily in that moment in time last night need Austin Watson or Josh Brown or Brady Tkachuk or whomever to go run over Aaron Dell or challenge him to a fight. Like, I think from that perspective, like, there are other teams that are maybe further down their competitive road where you kind of question whether it's a tight team or not. For me, I don't question that with Ottawa. So from the perspective of, hey, I've got your back, I don't feel like that's an issue.
I agree with you, JR. I do. You know, we get to watch this team close enough and not as close as we normally do because, you know, for the past year and a half to 2 years, we've kind of been on the outside of that team, but we feel it. We feel, you know, that their growth, and we feel their growth together as a unit. We see enough of it, and we'll have a better feel for it. And we can go and sit beside them in the locker room and get back to, you know, having one-on-one conversations and sitting down with someone after practice, which was my favorite thing to do, and chat for 15 minutes, just about everything. And so I do think that this is a close team, and I think we're rounded enough and close enough to it to get that sense, but I don't think in any way that their lack of running over Aaron Dell last night has any reflection on how they feel about Drake Batherson. I think he's revered in that locker room.
How bad do you feel for him? Looks like he'll miss the All-Star game, Pauly.
Really, you know, I had an opportunity to go to my first All-Star game in '86, and so was my third year in the league. And I know what it meant to me, Simmer, to sit in that room and just look around and feel it. And you know, at that point, it was Bossy and Trache, and it was Peter Stastny, and it was Larry Robinson, and Mario Lemieux. And I was looking around, and I was thinking, oh, I am sitting in the same locker room as these guys. This is unbelievable. Like, it was so exciting for me, and it meant so much to me how excited I was just to sit and absorb. And that's what he'll be denied. And it had a huge effect on me, and I was fortunate enough to go to two All-Star games, and then Rendezvous was between them in 87. So in three consecutive years, I got that experience. And the confidence boost it gives you to understand that you look back and you see your jersey behind you, and it's got the same logo on it as the guys beside you and around you. It's a phenomenal experience. Now, he did, you know, he made the team, and he'll experience it from the outside knowing that he made it. But just the chance to sit in that locker room, you know, I really feel bad for Drake not being able to do that.
I did a little bit of research, Dave. I think the last goalie that was suspended is your now colleague, Jamie McLennan, believe it or not, in his last game ever in the NHL with Calgary in 2007. Knowing Noodles like you do, does that surprise you to learn that?
It doesn't at all, and he still hasn't served the suspension, Jared.
Exactly.
That's the issue. And so each time he talks about making a comeback, as he did again this year, because, you know, there was goaltending issues, he realizes that he's going to have to serve that suspension before he comes back. I know that was the last one. I played with another guy that might have had a couple of them as well for a little bit longer in Philadelphia, who liked to get involved. I laugh that Jamie's on the record book for that because it couldn't be any further from the personality.
Absolutely. Okay. To wrap up, it is Bell Let's Talk Day. And listen, I know that, I mean, you played, you coached. You're now you're in management. You're now a broadcaster. I just want to know if you had kind of any thoughts to share on this of all days, just kind of, you know, whether it's a personal thing or just as a bigger picture thing on a day like today.
Yeah, it had a huge impact. You know, it's been prevalent in my expanded family and very, very sensitive to it, aware of it. And with what, you know, everyone's been through, not just hockey players, but what everyone's been through for the past 2 years, the challenges of that, the challenges of everything that we go through. I mean, being supportive of each other couldn't be more important than it is right now.
All right. Well said. Appreciate the time and the insight into all of this. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again on Friday.
Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
This is TSN 1200.
All right, welcome back, 8:39. Stand by. We're going to hopefully take you overseas in about 5 or 6 minutes from now and talk to Ottawa guy, former Ottawa senator. Now the leading goal scorer in the Swedish Elite League or just the Hockey League? Simmer? I see it referred to as the SHL, but I thought at one point it was the Swedish. Anyway, the top league in Sweden. Yeah. Max Verano, of course, you remember him from a couple of years ago with the Sens, had a couple of goals after signing as a college free agent. He's played over in Sweden the last couple of years, and this year, leading goal scorer in the league, and yesterday was named to the taxi squad for Canada's Olympic men's hockey team. So he'll be going, I think they are actually going to Beijing, and obviously, I believe it's 6 members on the taxi squad, each country being allowed to carry some extra players. Making sure that if there is a mini COVID outbreak, I'm guessing with any of the teams that they'll have enough players to field a team. So that's why there is a taxi squad, much like we've seen in the NHL.
Yeah, absolutely awesome. And just pulling up the stats here, 32 games, 21 goals, 18 assists, 39 points. And last year, I didn't realize he played in the Swedish League as well. So you moved up to a good franchise in Leksand, and just a great experience for a kid that is now 26, just 26 years old. So, and those are pretty good numbers. And like I said, that'll attract attention either to come back to North America or maybe go somewhere in Europe and certainly make yourself some nice money. And I just recommend it to so many guys, JR, don't do it mid-20s where hang around the American League. And I know you have a dream to play, which you got his games. God, the guys that go over to Europe generally say, and you know, they usually do it in their 30s. They're like, wish I had gone over a lot younger. So good for Max.
What's the best? You scouted in Leksand before. The World Juniors, the year that Carey Price beat the Americans in the shootout. That's the one that we remember. Jonathan Toews had all the shootout goals.
Yeah.
That was in Leksand.
Yeah.
What's the best thing that you remember about Leksand, Sweden?
The fact that it was kind of a duo. There's another little town that's in the second division close to it. And we actually all stayed in a little village that had a couple of hotels that would be just like if you were kind of at the Big Rideau or up in Kalibokie, JR. We stayed at those. And it's just really cool, northern Sweden. And I guess I was really surprised. It was very mild temperatures for, you know, middle of December or late December. And the hockey was great. And as I looked it up, I remember we actually drove from the Stockholm airport there. It's not actually that bad of a ride. So, like I said,
how far from Stockholm is it?
I think it was only about a 3-hour ride, if I'm not mistaken. But we can ask old Mad Max when he comes on. But as I say, traveling around Sweden is identical to if you went west of here, outside of Ottawa, towards North Bay. You know, just looking around, you'd have no idea. Well, am I in Canada? Am I in Sweden? Mm. It's pretty cool.
So would it be like size wise? Feel like is it like Ottawa or smaller?
Leksand is much much smaller.
Right.
No, Leksand would have the feeling.
Kingston?
I was going to go North Bay, but I'll start to pull up some stats here, JR, as we have it on, the distance in the town. We stayed in the little village there, and then going downtown, on a very small scale. I'll go much closer to North Bay.
Okay, all right. With all due respect to North Bay, that doesn't excite me that much. With all due respect to North Bay. Okay, we'll go to Max in just a second, but we did want to bring you match point in the men's singles. Canada's Felix Auger-Aliassime won the first two sets against Daniil Medvedev, dropped the next two. He was at one point a couple of points away from winning the match, went to the fifth set, got broken, I think, in his service game in the seventh game, then had a couple of break points at 4-5. Medvedev rallied to tie, and then that sent it to a tiebreaker in terms of his service game. Here we go, Medvedev serving for the match.
Medvedev masters Auger-Aliassime, got midnight in Melbourne, and the Russian is back in the last four.
There you go. So he was the top seed because he's actually second seeded. Joker was the number one seed. Didn't he obviously play in the tournament? So Medvedev was the top seeded player that actually played. So Felix took him right to the end.
Yeah.
And I was mistaken when I said earlier that Felix did not have a good record in 5-set matches. He's actually 3-1. So
okay.
I was incorrect.
Okay.
in that, but unfortunately could not win this
match. Yeah, they just brought up in the telecast JR quickly in one match in the Australian Open a couple of years ago. He's up 2-love and lost in five. So, yeah, you live and learn, and you just kind of feel that. It was right there, and a little bit upset that the Australians are cheering on anything to do with Russia these days. But, hey, that's their problem.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, unfortunately, both I was hoping that either he or Dennis, or, you know, hopefully both, but one of them would make it to the semifinal,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That would have been a great breakthrough for Canadian tennis.
Yeah, your interest level and waking up and to see the scores and Medvedev and even Nadal, I guess going for the record helps a little bit, JR, but God, you couldn't even tell you who's on the women's side. Been so much focus on the two Canadians. And also looked up good old Lexan. It is a grand population of 6,000 people. So
yeah,
I'm going
6,000.
Yeah, I'm going on a yeah. So there,
okay.
We're talking Perth.
Well, let's find out how sexy it is, because let's go overseas, shall we? 8:45 this morning, so 2:45 in the afternoon in Leksand, Sweden, and we're going to bring in on the Gabriel Pizza Zoom line this morning. We're trying this for the first time. Max Verano from Ottawa. The leading goal scorer with Leksand in the Swedish Hockey League. Max, how you doing this, I guess, this afternoon, your time?
Very, very good. Thank you very much for having me.
Excellent. Good good of you to join us. And listen, congratulations on a great season in Sweden. But let's first and foremost, my colleague Simmer used to scout and has been to Leksand. He was trying to wax eloquent about Leksand. What's the best thing about living in Leksand, Sweden?
Well, I guess it is a really small town. I know you guys are comparing it to North Bay and whatnot. It might be even smaller than that, I think. But no, I think the people around here, the fans, they're really amazing. It's a lot of fun to play here. I think the rink fits almost more people than even the town is. But people come in from everywhere just to come watch, and it's a lot of fun to be able to play here.
Max, what was your decision second year to go to Sweden? But when you originally decided to go to Europe, why Sweden?
Last year, obviously, the start of COVID and everything, and I was kind of unsure what was going on in North America. And I got an offer to come play in Sweden after basically end of December, and thought it was a good opportunity. I know the Swedish league's a really good league, and I know I had a pretty tough year in the AHL my 1 year there, so just try something new, and I've loved it here ever since. It's been a great 2 years, and it's been a lot of fun to be able to play here.
Talking to Ottawa's Max Verano, leading goal scorer in the Swedish Hockey League this year, 21 goals in 32 games, I believe it is. Max, as you said, it's and everybody says it's tough to score in that league with the big ice and everything. So why have you found so much success, do you think?
I'm playing with some pretty good players, to be honest, and I've been getting a little puck lucky here and there too. But I think, for me, I love the big ice. It's I can use my speed a little more and whatnot. So I don't know, just try to get some odd man rush, get some more breakaways over there over here. But no, it's been a lot of fun playing with some great players too, which really helps it out.
Max, if I was to kind of summarize the league, would you call it more of a thinking man's game?
Yes, it is like a lot of thinking, but also I think people just don't stop skating. That's the biggest thing. Like, people are back checking hard. It's like every night, because you don't play you don't play back to backs ever. So you always have a day off in between. So it's like people have a little more juice every single game. So it's a lot of skating. People work hard. Defensively, everybody's skating hard, trying to, I think it's a pretty low scoring league overall. I know, like, obviously I'm having a good year, but I think having like a point a game is really, really good in this league. And if you're anywhere close to that, it's pretty good.
I know it's early in the process. You're kind of halfway or a little over halfway through your first full season over there. Have you seen enough? Have you had enough success where you go, you know what, I wouldn't mind plying my trade here for a bunch of years? Or are you hoping to get back over to North America? Or what's kind of the future plan, if you've even thought about it?
I haven't thought much about it. Obviously, I really like it here in Sweden, so I wouldn't mind staying here. But as a little kid, you know, you want to go play, especially being from North America, you want to go play in the NHL as much as you can. And if I can get the opportunity to go back to the NHL, obviously it'd be a dream come true again. So obviously that'd be nice, but I love it here in Sweden too, and it's been a lot of fun.
Is some of the goal, Max, to work it up to some of the bigger markets a chance? I know there's not a lot in Stockholm now, but you look at Frölunda and kind of work your way along, or even look at places like Switzerland?
Yeah, obviously there's like a lot more opportunity, even like Russia, Switzerland. And I know Alexa, I know it's a tiny town, but it's actually one of the biggest teams in Sweden. Okay. Just like the fan base from way back when they were, I don't know, one of the top SHL teams. I know the last 20 years have been kind of more up and down, but apparently from what I've heard, Leksand has been, it's pretty much a top team in Sweden. It's like the, I like to compare it to like the Leafs or the Canadians from way back when. So
what about the what about the Senators?
Well, I wouldn't put the Senators as a big time historical market though. But
come on, you're from Ottawa, man. You played for the team when you came. So as you you know, in terms of just as you said, high profile team, you're the leading goal scorer in the entire league. So I'm sure you're the toast of the town, and as kind of a new guy, like, are you getting Swedish meatballs after every game? Like, the fans are bringing stuff. Like, what kind of perks are you getting as a big time star with the team?
Nothing really. Okay. nothing really.
Have you tried the reindeer meat?
I have not tried the reindeer meat yet, but I've had a lot of meatballs, and I will say they are very, very good over here.
I'd be keen to know, you know, what's the living situation? I'm assuming you don't billet. Do you live with some of the guys on the team? Do you live in an apartment? You got a house? Like, kind of how's that all play itself out?
Yeah, so in Leksand, they kind of, it's not the biggest town, but they have like this little like campground more or less, but there's like houses on it and everything. And I don't know, there's like five of us who are all kind of neighbors, all like most of the imports kind of here. We all live side by side and just in a little, our own little house, two-story small house. It's not that big, but it's pretty nice, and it's close to the rink, and it's pretty easy to get around. So it's pretty good living spot overall, I'd say.
Nice. I was there for the World Junior, Max, and I was a little surprised mid-December how mild it was. Kind of out, you know, what's the idea? Is the outdoors, and do you guys get out and do any activities, any ice fishing, any skidoo, and anything fun?
I haven't done much outdoor stuff. I've gone hiking a little bit here and there, but I know some of my teammates, and like Carter Ashton, I don't know if you remember that name, but he played for the Leafs. Yep. And Team Canada. He's a big outdoor guy, and he goes, I think, skidooing and all that stuff. So he's been out a lot. He has a dog too, so he goes hunting, I think, too, and all that. So no, if you're an outdoorsy person, this is a pretty good place to play.
Nice. We're talking to Max Verano from Ottawa, leading goal scorer in the Swedish Hockey League. You're having a great year, Max, and take us through, because one of the other feathers in your cap for this year, yesterday you were named to the taxi squad for Canada's Olympic hockey team. Kind of take us through how long you've been talking to Claude Julien and the type and those types about the potential of you playing and going to Beijing for the upcoming Olympics.
Yeah, well, actually it started I guess there was a long list way back in maybe in the fall. Just it was like, because the NHL players were going, and then there was just another separate list just in case, even though it's like a 90% chance that the NHL goes or whatnot. So we were on that list. We didn't talk to anybody, just kind of had some paperwork a little bit to do. And then once the NHL decided that they weren't going to go, that's when it kind of became real, that's more or less. And then we had to do a lot more stuff. But I didn't really talk to that many people, if anybody, till maybe a couple of weeks ago, when they were trying to nail down who's going to be on the team and everything. And I'm very fortunate just to still be out there. Obviously I'd like to be on the team, but it's pretty awesome just to be even considered to just be on the taxi squad. I know there's a lot of great Canadians who are not in the NHL and playing in Europe, playing in the AHL and even college and everything. So it's truly an honor just to be able to be a part of this group.
When you got the final word that you're not on the team, but you're on the taxi squad and you're going, kind of what was your reaction at that moment? You're going to the Olympics, man.
Yeah, it was like 50-50. I was like a little disappointed because I was on the team, but also super happy because I was still a part of it, you know. It's a little mixed. It was like obviously like a dream come true almost, just to still have a chance, you know. Mm-hmm. Especially obviously I don't wish anything bad to happen to anybody on the team, but if God forbid anything does happen, I'll be ready to go.
Do you look at that, Max, is the Lexan team very supportive? Because Ryan Spooner was on. He was a little bit worried about the KHL, but I would assume in Sweden, most of the players from the Swedish League are going to make up the Olympic team. Would they really support and just be excited you're going to get a chance to go?
Yeah, I think that's actually a big part about the European hockey in general. I know because we have a few week-long breaks throughout the year where the countries just have a little tournament just to see their players and whatnot. So every time there's like a international event or whatnot, every team is pretty supportive about it. And they want the kids, the players, just to go out and play for their country because it's a pretty cool experience. Like, I've never done it before. So this is my first time. So it's pretty cool. And I'm pretty excited. And I think the team is excited for me too.
Are you most excited about wearing the Lululemon Olympic gear? Have they sent any of it to you or what?
I think that's the second thing I'm most excited for. First one would be to put on the jersey, but that's for sure.
Yeah.
The second.
What have they told you about the logistics of? Now, one of the reasons they named a taxi squad like they have in the NHL is they want to be sure there's enough players to play in case there is a COVID outbreak within any given team. Are you guys, the six of you, to be separated from the main group just in case, or are you going to be kind of with them all the time? Kind of take us through, if you know, the nuts and bolts of how you're going to spend your time in Beijing.
I'm honestly not even sure if I'm going to Beijing yet.
I had read that you guys are, but that could be wrong. Maybe I'm breaking news.
JR's here to let you know you're coming.
Well, I think it's still for me at least. I know it's still a little unsure because I think they maybe can bring us, but then also we might not be able to play or practice very much. So it's also maybe they might want to keep us here just so I can play in Sweden. Then if something happens, I can just head over too. But so I don't know, I'm still unsure about which way they're going to go with it. Cause I think these days with COVID and everything's kind of day by day kind of make a decision. So I don't, obviously it'd be pretty cool to be able to go, even if say I were to be quarantined away from everybody else, but it'd be pretty cool to go. Be awesome even just to like see all the other athletes. I know it's pretty cool, so yeah, however it works out, it'll be a great experience regardless.
Just get your swag and get the gear, that way you take pictures, you can even fake that you're in Beijing cruising around in the Lexan ice, eh? Nobody will even know. And also, Max, say you're 26 years old, is 2010 one of your biggest Olympic memories, watching Canada win gold in Vancouver?
Yeah, that was pretty awesome actually. Yeah, I think my parents were actually at the game. So Jerry, you mentioned that to my parents. Yeah.
Yeah. But, I know your dad and mom really well. I don't think he ever mentioned that to me.
And I'm pretty sure they were there. Oh. I could be mistaken.
Well, hang on. Now, Max, how can you not know if your parents were at the Olympic gold medal game or not?
It was 12 years ago. Okay.
They were actually in Hawaii and didn't take you.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, listen, we'll wrap it up there, and thank you very much for your time. Congratulations on the awesome start to your year. And whatever the future holds down the road, be it back here in North America or playing over in Europe, and most importantly in the short term, we'll see what happens with the Olympics, but a great honor just to be named even to the taxi squad. So congratulations on everything, and really appreciate you joining us this afternoon, your time.
Thank you guys so much. It's my pleasure.
All right. There's Max Verano of Leksand over in the Swedish Hockey League joining us on the Gabriel Pizza Zoom line. Gabriel Pizza is the official pizza of the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, if I could map it out, JR, as a hockey player, first of all, I'd go to Princeton and get an education. And you see this in the East Coast Hockey League in Europe a lot. You got that in your back pocket, you know what? And you know you can go into a hell of a job at any time. Now you just go out and see the world. You play some hockey, and like you said, with Leksand. And what's kind of interesting about Sweden, JR, it's very similar to junior hockey. I'll use Quebec more than Ontario. It's not really in the big centers anymore. Like in Stockholm, right, it's more soccer. So what it is, it's a lot of the northern towns. And like you said, 6,000 people. And I was in that building, and they come from everywhere and even bring their cattle in. Even the reindeer are at the games. but it's just really, you know, it's cool, you know. But that's the way the league kind of works, right? Where, you know, it's the little towns and it really matters. It's a long winter. And the experience to go to those HV71, Leksand, all these cool old buildings. So good for Max. That's awesome.
Really interesting. And listen, this is the world we're living in, where everything changes every day.
Yeah.
Are you going to Beijing? Yeah. I don't think so. I think you are. Even if you're not, you know, you could get called at the last minute to fly from or get from Lexand over to Beijing. It's just like it's the world we're living in right now.
It very much. And I'm just watching some of the news yesterday, JR, in China, like they're literally locking down the city. Anyone that goes to look for cold medicine right now is being tested. And they're basically, and this is the unfortunate of the way things are there, they're basically locking down segments of the city, right, to make sure that they can pull off the Olympic Games. So from an athlete standpoint, I think it'll be fine. As far as Max, like, I'm assuming you go Stockholm, Frankfurt, and then Frankfurt to Beijing.
That's the way I've always done it.
Well, exactly. That's not exactly like a, hey, I'll be there in an hour.
Yeah,
like,
well,
exactly. Like, if someone tests positive the morning of a game, my Beijing can. Connection.
The Olympic men's, I know it's not the NHLers, but the men's, the Olympic hockey, both men's and women's, that is one of the marquee events of the Winter Olympics. I could be wrong here. I've been wrong about lots of things. I don't think you're sort of leaving it to chance of, if you've created this taxi squad, what would be the issue with having the six guys in the, even if you're separate, but actually having them with in the city?
Yeah, and that is more the interesting part, is that when you get to the village, the purpose of it then would be to have you off on your own, right? You're only a six-man band. But I want my swag.
Yes.
I want my gear.
Seen the price of it, by
the
way?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's really well, it's really well done. I know at the Lululemon store there, it's always lined up. So, that's part of it. And then to that, to your point, Jer, like, and he was pointing out what I talk about with Sweden, Finland, the Czech Republic, and Russia playing that four-leg tournament. Like, it is really a big deal. Like, this, it's not the NHL, but in Central Europe and across Russia, it'll be almost as popular as if the NHL players were there. I mean, it's just like the World Championships. So people get really fired up for it.
All right, good stuff. Appreciate, again, Max Verano for joining us. 9 o'clock, we'll take a break, get a top-of-the-hour news and sports update. Again, if you're just joining us, unfortunately, Felix Auger-Aliassime goes down in 5 sets in his men's quarterfinal, so no Canadians left at the Australian Open. We'll bring you right up to date on that. Hour 4 will include, on this Bell Let's Talk Wednesday, a visit with Michael Landsberg, who has been one of the biggest mental health advocates in this country. He will join us coming up next hour. And more on the Sens. 5-0 win over Buffalo last night. It was the best of times in terms of Tyler Ennis and Matt Murray, and the worst of times with Drake Batherson. More on that coming up next hour as well, right here on Sports Radio TSN 1200.